Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a great question from Ashley. She wants to know about the logistics of the split stay, what she should do with her luggage, how long she should expect to be without that luggage, how she should make the transition from one resort to the next. So we'll tackle that question and much more on today's show. But don't forget our Wednesday podcast, always brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. As you know, I was counting down forever for our big summer trip, which we just took a few weeks back. Now I've reset the app for Marathon Weekend 2020. It's dopey. Fifth time for me, and I'm looking down and seeing that I have 175 days to go till I check in to Pop Century for Marathon Weekend 2020. You can get excited for your next trip every time you look down at your Apple device, and turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. Support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you do that shopping online. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits. Really, no reason not to support the show. Again, it's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1512 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents, of course, over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. So glad to actually be back behind the mic here in the studios as we recorded early for the shows while we were all on vacation. So this is actually a fresh one this week, and we're going to be talking, of course, today, listener questions, but Friday, I'm really excited because Pam is back, and we're going to talk about Grandestino Tower and everything Coronado Springs now. Oh, I cannot wait. But let's get the ladies introduced. Joining me first from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. And Ricky, guess what? We know what? A date for the Skyliner!
I know! I'm so excited! It's official! September 29th! So, I'm totally going to plug it because why not? If you want, we have awesome Disney Gondola Skyliner shirts for our Be Our Guest podcast store. So if you want to wear your gondola shirt while you're on the Disney Skyliner, you can get one. Yay!
Yeah, definitely send us a selfie if you have the shirt on the gondolas, and they'll be everywhere on social media, I promise. And I will tell you, when I saw that announcement earlier this week, I may or may not have gotten ready to book a trip because, I mean, think about it. That's like Illuminations goes away.
Yes.
The new show will debut and you can ride a sky bucket. You can ride a gondola all in like 3 days.
Oh, no. I'm in. I've already like had to look at my dates for the remainder of the year of what I have going on versus how many vacation days that I have left. And I'm realizing that I'm quickly running out of vacation days, even though I have more than ever this year. So like, I'm like, okay, how can I finagle my way down to Walt Disney World for the Skyliner opening? I don't know that I can, but we'll see what I can do.
I am so excited because, I mean, it's like the great tease in the sky for like the last couple of months. Like when we were there, you know, like a lot of times when we were there, you know, a few weeks back, you'd see that the wires were empty, you know, like, you would walk out and all of a sudden they're all over the place, like Skittles in the air, you know, it's like, I just let me ride one. So yeah, they must be close.
I want to fly.
I mean, I always thought the monorail was more of an attraction than transportation. These are going to be the same thing. It's going to be a ride.
It's going to be totally a ride. And you know, like I booked my hotel at Pop Century on like the off chance that maybe they'd be testing with people by that time. I was like, maybe I can get on one. And then no, it didn't work out that way.
Excited. All right. Also joining us, she's back, Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, so glad to have you back. What's going on?
I'm glad to be back, I think. I don't know. It's hard. Like, I was gone for a long time. Meetings right before the cruise, and then it was just crazy. So anyways, I'm back at home in the office. So today was really my first day back in the office, and that's sort of a rude awakening.
I bet. Yes. Yes.
Not easy.
It's rough. I mean, with, you know, Grand Casino Tower, Forrester Industry Towers. I mean, it's all the same thing, right?
Exactly. Same difference, right?
I wish I had the Kronos Club here at
home. Oh my gosh, yes.
I could use like someone making my coffee early and then, you know, continental breakfast and light hors d'oeuvres in the evening. I mean, you know.
Yes.
That's why you have Hannah and Steve. They need to bring you a light hors d'oeuvre.
Yes.
Like, I can use some light hors d'oeuvres and a complimentary cocktail, for goodness sake.
Absolutely. And you've got to have the little cute, adorable Mickey Mouse sugar cubes because, oh my gosh, how cute were those?
Those are so cute. Yes. I know. So, anyways, yeah, looking forward to talking about that, though, on Friday's show.
All righty. We're going to answer your listener questions here on a Wednesday. So, if you have questions, drop those in here in the Facebook chat as we record live. And we have some from the inbox. Actually, we have a ton from the inbox. They just kept rolling in while we were down at Walt Disney World. So let's get to Ashley here. Her question's about split stays. She says, hey, I have a quick question for an upcoming trip in January of 2020. They are planning a boardwalk stay. We're unable to get to the boardwalk for our entire trip, so we decided to stay one night at Animal Kingdom Kidani Village to make it a full week. Then we saw our best flight would get us in at 5:47 p.m. and using the Disney math, we decided to add another day earlier and stay our first night at All-Star Music so we could spend an entire day at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Let's see how this is. They were going a day earlier. Then they got a better flight, so going a day earlier than a day earlier. Nice. Different resorts. So what they have now is a boardwalk trip that's 8 nights total, staying at All-Star Music for one night, then Animal Kingdom, Kidani Village for one night, then 6 nights at Boardwalk. I know there are, I want to know if there are any tricks to getting Disney to transfer luggage between resorts, and will it take a long time to get our luggage to our next room, or should we take an Uber and check it at the front desk so we have all of the things we need? Thanks. Ashley is in Endwell, New York, 1,162 miles from Walt Disney World. Now, this one's kind of tricky, Pam, because we always talk about the split stays. This is a triple split stay, which I did, but when you're talking about the only thing I see kind of becoming an issue slightly with this one is that it's a one-night stay and a one-night stay with the split, because they tell you that your luggage can take about 6 hours to make the transition. And you may say, well, it's just down the street, because think about it. All Stars are close to Animal Kingdom and Lodge, but that doesn't matter. Like, they can, they must go through like a roundabout way, because one time I went from Pop to Beach Club and my stuff didn't show up for like 8 hours, and it was marathon weekend and my sneakers were in the bag. So best advice. I mean, I think they're going to be fine going from that Animal Kingdom Lodge to Boardwalk, where they're going to be setting up for 6 nights. But the one night, the first 2 nights where it's one night here, one night there, I would probably keep my luggage and do the Uber, wouldn't you?
I would too. We do split stays all the time. Every trip, really and truly, even if I'm only going to be there 4 nights, I usually am splitting it 2 and 2, just because I want to get the photos of the different resorts. I want to experience them. There's really no substitute for that. So we almost always do a split stay, and we take our luggage most of the time. Now, you absolutely can have Disney do it. Just know, like Mike said, I mean, it's not, they don't have one staff person who's just sitting there waiting to transfer luggage for folks. They actually do it at certain times of the day. There's a certain time that they do it. And so it can take an extended period of time. It, you know, you may not get it till way after you have already checked in. So if it's important to you and you want to have the luggage with you, just take the Uber or take Lyft and go ahead, or a minivan if you want to, and go ahead over to the next resort. Then you have it with you. You can still check it with Bell Services if your room's not ready, and then you're ready to go. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. And that's what I do in that case.
Yeah, they do a good job with the baggage transfer, but I'm just, you know, with that first night, I would just take it with you the first time. And then when you're transferring from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Boardwalk, let Disney handle it, because, you know, you're not, time's not of the essence at that point. All right, let's get to a question here in the live chat from Katie Lombardo. She says, heading down to Beach Club level with a mixed group, 5 adults, 1 first time, and 1 person will need an ECV. We'll have 2 kids, 5 and 7. Any tips for things we must know when traveling with an ECV, and what would be one extra to add on? Dessert party, event, cruise, etc. All right, Ricky, so what would you think about when it comes to taking an ECV to Walt Disney World? Maybe people haven't thought about, like, chargers or parking it, or there's lots of things. What would you say?
Yeah, well, key is definitely make sure you're charging that at the end of the at the end of the night. That's definitely key. Because I've heard, you know, I remember wasn't it Steve Hood who was talking about one time like his ECV at one point died in the middle of one
Epcot,
of the parks.
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah, back when he had the ECV. So, you know, definitely make sure you're charging it. Make sure you bring extras, extra stuff. But you know, the nice thing about Disney is that for the most part, most of the attractions will allow your entire party to go through the queue, including the ECV. So you're not going to have to split up or anything like that. You don't really even need to go get the guest assistant pass anymore because, you know, the lines all accommodate pretty much for the most part. So you're pretty well okay there. I would make sure you know, maybe check in with the cast member out front, you know, for attractions just to make sure that that line is fully accessible. But and if it's not, they will have a plan for you. You know, I haven't gone with the ECV thing, but I did go with my grandmother who we pushed in a wheelchair and, you know, it was just fine. There are a few attractions where they will have special boats or vehicles for people in wheelchairs if they are not comfortable with getting out of their wheelchair. Now, there are also some attractions that they do need to transfer from the wheelchair to the attraction vehicle. So just keep that in mind. You know, that may be something that they may not get to ride if they can't transfer. So, you know, just that's something also to keep in mind. I know like the Navi River Journey, like you can't transfer or you have to transfer. You can't like there's no boat for you to just wheel onto or something like that. So I know that was one of the complaints a lot of people had about that attraction when it was built, when it opened. So but you know, it's not so hard traveling with ECVs. Just know that, you know, people are going to walk in front of that person and cut them off.
Yeah,
and that's like the hardest thing is, you know, the other hard thing is just make sure like, you know, they're comfortable because they're going to have to potentially get on a bus with the ECV. So make sure that they can maneuver well. If they don't use it all the time, make sure that they test it and really practice with it. Drive it around a little bit around the resort. That's going to be key as well because, you know, I've watched people not maneover those ramps
But I feel for them because, you know, like a lot of folks, the first time they hop on that suckers at Walt Disney World, it's not like you can practice for 2 weeks at home. You probably don't have one at home. Most people, I would guess. I mean, I don't I'm not joking here. It kind of sounds like a joke, but like, first thing I would do is at my resort, like practice a 3-point turn. You know, it's kind of like driver's ed because they need that to get on the ramp into the bus.
They do, because I think most of the time a lot of times they have to back onto the ramp and go backwards.
I couldn't do it. No, that'd be a mess.
No way. I mean, I would definitely need to practice. There's, you know, so make sure if someone gets an ECV and they're not, you know, don't have it all the time, make sure they just kind of practice around the resort a little bit, doing, like you said, like 3-point turns and backing up and stopping on a dime and, you know, stuff like that, just to make sure that they're comfortable with those kind of things if they're not normally comfortable with those kind of things.
Good advice. Now, Pam, do you know if, like in the park, say you're, you know, you get down to like 10% battery, is there a place, I mean, I guess those just use regular electricity, but I mean, there's so many of them nowadays. Is Disney, you know, it's almost like at the mall where you have like the 10 slots for like Teslas, you know, like you can get some juice. I mean, has Disney not thought of that yet? Like there's a place where ECVs could kind of go and get a little, top it off.
You
there.
Can. There are different locations where you can plug in, and you can also talk to one of the cast members and they'll direct you. Most of the ones that people are renting from the different rental places will last all day, believe it or not. You just have to plug them in at night. So just make sure that you do that. Another thing is that most of the rental companies, if they're a good one in the area, will also have trucks in the area that could actually replace your scooter if it's not holding a charge or, you know, you do find that the battery is not lasting the full day. So make sure you think about that. And, you know, I don't think there's a ton of things you really have to be aware of, just the things that y'all mentioned. There are a lot of ECVs in the parks. There just are. There's a ton of different ones. So it may make it a little challenging at times, but I think it offers just a ton of accessibility to so many people. So go and enjoy. Don't worry about it.
All right. So let's get to the second part of her question, because Pam, we did, you know, we really kind of did that when we were down there in Ricky too. We got to do, and especially you, do a lot of stuff outside the theme parks. You know, I went fishing with Mark Yerkes, Phil, Scott, Page. You know, thank you, Mark, for letting us go fishing, and thank you for letting me for once catch the biggest fish. That thing was a monster. That thing was huge. Actually, Funny story. I'll have to talk about fishing someday on the show, but I pulled the first one out. We were fishing back by where they park all the ferries and stuff. There's like a, it's kind of like a roundhouse for the monorails, but it's off of Bay Lake back behind the Contemporary. So our guide took us back there. I don't know if we're supposed to go back there, but he did because he knew we're Disney nerds. And so we went back there. He's like, check this all out. There's the ferry sitting there. It's where it gets gas, you know, and all that and all the little boat launches. But anyway, we go back there. We're fishing in the tall grass and I pull out the first fish of the day. It's a bass. I get it on the boat. Now, I went fishing a couple years ago, so I've done this once before in World Showcase. I'm not a fisherman, just so you know. I'm not like a city boy, but I'm also not a fisherman. Catch the thing. The guy, you know, gets it off the hook and hands it to me for a picture. That sucker bit down on my thumb, and it did have teeth. He said it didn't. It did have teeth. Bit me. I dropped it. It flopped around on the boat, hopped out, boom, right over the thing, and went out before I get a picture. Jumped right into the lake. I know. But eventually I got the big guy, so I got my picture with him. I was like, he's going to bite my thumb off because I just want to get a picture. This thing's gigantic. So anyway, so we did a lot of stuff like it. You did an Illuminations cruise. Mm-hmm. We did the Grand One. That was incredible. Oh my gosh, I've never seen the electrical water pageant so close. I could have jumped on the barge.
So close right there in front of my face, basically.
You know, you have so many extra things, dessert parties, fireworks cruises. So Pam, what would you suggest? You're staying beach club level. Anything you could throw in that might be like one special event they could talk about when they come home?
Wow. And there are so many. We did not go to it, but dang, we heard the music from the H2O Glow Nights. Now that's only going on at certain times. But it was so funny. We were at Old Key West and I'm like, what is that music? Like really and truly. And then we were looking up to see what was still open. It was the H2O Glow Nights, and I'm hearing that people are having a good time at those too. I always really enjoy the dessert parties. I think that they're really cool. I think though too, the after hour parties are really worth doing too, especially if you're looking for a little extra time in the parks. Those will give you sort of the best of both worlds. They will let you on a bunch of attractions. Your crowd just will be lower. Plus you have ice cream and soft drinks and snacks and things like that included in the price of that. So those get such great reviews. I still think that those are worth really checking out.
All right. Let's get to a question from Betsy. She's always here in our live chat and we appreciate that so much. Says we're going on a 4-night maritime cruise in December, 153 days. Woohoo! It is our first cruise and I'm super excited. I'm thinking of arriving a few days early or staying a few days late. Our cruise departs the 16th, so I was thinking the crowds would be nominally better the weekend before the cruise instead of the last weekend before Christmas. Any thoughts? Ricky, what do you see with crowd pattern? I would say before.
I mean, I would say before too. Although now you have the wrench of, Rise of the Resistance opening. So, I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot at this point. I don't know, man. I mean, I would still say before though. I mean, you know, it's going to be crowded at Hollywood Studios probably. I don't know about the other parks. Tough choices there. I would definitely go before though, I think. Yeah.
Or, you know, you could do like a day. If you say you want us to go to, you know, say you want to be in the parks 3 days total besides the cruise, like do 2 days before, 1 day after. Because it makes it so much easier. If you have just like 1 day, it makes it so much easier to get off the ship. Getting off the ship and going to the airport is brutal.
That is definitely brutal. Yeah. I've split it before. And that is the best way to do it is to do like 1 or 2 days before and then 1 or 2 days after.
I'm just trying to help Betsy so she doesn't like tie herself to the anchor and say, I'm not getting off this ship. You're going to have to remove me with police.
I've had that problem where like I've had to get off the ship and then I had to go home and like that's terrible.
Not fun.
No.
I would give yourself at least 1 day at the end.
Oh, by the way, that story I was telling, did I say it was a bass? It was a piranha.
You're such a liar. Don't even. Okay. Liar.
Thanks, George. All right. Next question says upcoming Disney trip and future planning. It's from Luke. He says, Luke from Pennsylvania here. I'm a new listener and I'm getting ready for a 1-year anniversary Disney trip with my wife this September. 10 days, all-star resorts, room hopping. She's a new Disney recruit and I haven't been there in almost a decade. If all goes well on this trip, we're looking to get into routine trips. With this in mind, is it too early to start planning for 2021? What can I do to prepare? Will the new rides affect a 2021 stay negatively? Hoping for February or September, keep up the great work, Luke. You know what, Pam, is it ever too early to plan your next Disney vacation? I mean, is that a question?
It's not ever too early to start like thinking about it, but if you want to actually start like making plans, it's probably too early. Yeah. Just right. In terms of that, because I don't typically recommend folks to book like the room only, and then if they know that they're going to want something with tickets, because it really does. Disney has two systems. I know it sounds weird, but they have two systems. One's room only, one's packages, and the money does not transfer between the two. It causes,
weird that they still use a Commodore 64 for their bookings.
I know, I don't get right? It. Yeah, they really do. They haven't even upgraded a floppy disk. We're still using
right?
tapes. Like they're still
a data cassette or whatever that was called.
But even when you can book the room only part, if you're going to want a reservation that includes tickets and or dining, just wait until the packages come out, because then you won't have to start all that. You won't have park hours until about 180 days out, and even then sometimes those park hours are subject to change, and they will correct. Be subject to change right up until the morning of. And things have actually opened early or closed later based on that day. Like they Disney adjusted based on whatever and have adjusted at the very last minute. So, I mean, the thing I like to tell people is, you know, don't get too set on your plan. Like they can't be written in stone. You have to have room for changes, you have to adapt, you have to take in the needs of the people that you're traveling them with. Like maybe one day you wake up and you just don't feel like going to the parks that day. That's okay. You're on vacation. You are staying in a beautiful Disney resort. You have a fun pool. Maybe you want to go to Disney Springs and shop and eat to your heart's content. Maybe you just want to sleep late and do something like that. That's all perfectly okay. That's the beauty of a vacation. You get to do what you want. So leave room to adapt and leave room to have some, you know, magical things happen to you. But start thinking about the kind of attractions that you want to see. Start thinking about where you want to stay. Look around at the different resorts. There's so many different Disney resorts. There's going to be a resort that appeals to you and your budget. So keep that in mind. I absolutely always recommend staying on Disney property. I don't think that there's another choice in that space. It's just worth it, I think, all the time. So take that into consideration. And so those are the bare bones of the things that you can start to get ready. Think about the restaurants where you want to eat. And start to make the bones of a plan.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, too, they're going down this fall, trying to get into a routine of going back in 2021. What I always say is, like you said, if you're considering a resort, start to do some recon, start to do some research. And one of the ways I do that is I'll make an ADR at a restaurant near that resort. So if I want to check out Fort Wilderness Trails End, or if I want to go check out the Polynesian Kona or Ohana, you know, I just make, you know, Grand Flow, I'll just Grand Floridian Cafe, you know, something where it gives me a reason to be there. I get to have a good meal. And, you know, like after you eat a meal, it's nothing to maybe walk around the lobby for 20 minutes and check out the transportation options, maybe go to the stores. You know, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. There's, you know, that's the beauty of Disney too. You can start checking out other resorts when you're down there. And as long as you have a reservation, you know, to dine there, you'll be able to get on property. Now you can't use their pools or anything like that. We've talked about that on the show many times, but you can enjoy, you know, the lobby and public areas. So
let me ask you, because you mentioned about sleeping in on vacation at Walt Disney World. I got to ask both of you this, and I want to ask our listeners, so let me know on Twitter. This will be a fun midweek kind of thing. When I tell myself I'm going to sleep in at Walt Disney World, here's the problem. I always hear people like going down the halls, you know, or like leaving in the morning. You know, you start to hear the door slam it. You know, I stay at the Values and the Moderates a lot. You hear the door slam it, and you hear like kids laughing, and you hear like families all excited going outside your window. Like, I'm like, oh, I got to get up, man. I'm missing out. Everybody's going to the Magic Kingdom. Everybody's going to Epcot. Everybody's doing fun stuff. And like, I'm laying here in bed. Or, I mean, Ricky, do you get that? I'm like, I know it's great to sleep in on vacation. You do. But like, I get FOMO. Like, it's 7:30. People are leaving. I'm like, man, I should be up and going. Like, these people are beating me. I can't stand it. Like, I get excited. I can't sleep.
No, I get really ticked off. At 7:30 in the morning, I have like another hour.
I love it.
I'll be quiet.
Because you hear like kids like just laughing, like, you know, they're getting ready to go. It's going to be an awesome day. I'm like, oh, I'm
going to pull over my head and try to drown out the noise. Like, stop. I'm on vacation. I want to sleep in. Leave me alone. I don't have to get up at 7:30 in the morning today. I get to sleep in today. Come on.
I get FOMO. I just totally know I'm missing the best day ever. Like, I'm missing the best, like, opening ceremony ever.
I have time to have the best day ever. See, I know I have plenty of time to have all the fun I'm going to have.
You're crazy.
It's okay. No, it's fine. I'm perfectly happy with the way I vacation, and I like putting the pillow over my head.
All right. Whatever. So, Pam, do you ever get that? I mean, do you know what I'm talking about, Pam? I mean, like, when you hear excited people outside, like, I'm just like, oh, I gotta get out there. I don't know.
I do understand what you're saying in that, but I truly think there is value in not always running to the park. Like, I really do. I really and truly enjoy, you know, some of the stuff that the resorts have to offer, or being able to do other things at Disney World. I mean, I'm there so frequently, I don't feel as driven now to go and experience like an attraction that I've experienced 100 times, you know, myself. Now, like, if I had plans that day for something that I've been looking forward to, then, you know, absolutely not a problem. And we get up really early to begin with, but I don't feel compelled to, like, run to the parks every day. So.
I just feel like I'm missing out. I know better. Like, I know, like, do I really need to ride Dumbo for the 78th time, you know, this year? Like, no. But it's like, I'm just like, oh, they're having so much fun, especially when I hear kids, like, running around squealing.
I know, but see, that's what I think. I make the most of each day that I'm at Disney, but it doesn't mean that making the most of it is going to the parks always.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is why Ricky doesn't have kids.
Watch it. All right. Bethany's got a question in our chat. This is a good one. Going down in March for my husband's work conference at Coronado and staying extra nights, trying to decide between Pop and Coronado. We're driving, so he'll have his own transportation to his conference every day. Pam, you were just there. We love some Pop Century, and Skyliner's going to be, I mean, September 29th, baby. Gondolas everywhere. But it's Coronado all the time, right? I mean, it's and right now it's such a good deal to stay there.
Oh. If it wasn't Coronado before, it's Coronado now. Always. Yeah. I love the tower. I just think that it's great. And I think the rest of the resort just looks great, too. When you think about the dining options that are there right now, first of all, you have Three Bridges, which is sort of like the Geyser Point of Coronado. It's the open-air bar that sits on the water there. You also have Toledo, which is on the top of the tower, and Dahlia, which is the lounge that's on the top of the tower. And you have Barcelona, which is the sort of coffee and grab-and-go location located in the lower level of the lobby. There's just so many reasons to stay at Coronado, and specifically Grand Destino right now, that I wouldn't hesitate to stay there. It's all shiny and new, if nothing else, right? I mean, there's nothing I like better than a shiny new smelling hotel.
Yes.
I'm like the first or second person to sleep in that bed. It all looks good. The cast members are so excited about it. So go and enjoy.
And shout out to Katya Barbetta, who is tuned in right now from the Grand Casino Tower at Walt Disney World as we podcast. So living large. We have another listener. I'm trying to find it. It was back a long time in the chat. She is checking in to Grand Casino tomorrow. It's Jennifer. So there you go.
Awesome.
God, so fun. I wish I was. Anyway, I had to come home at some point. You know, we'll talk about that on Friday, but I really wanted to stay there. All right, the next question says, Spring Break 2020 Extras. Hi, Mike and gang. I'm loving the podcast this summer as I prep for my Spring Break 2020 trip. After listening to your podcast over the years and going to Walt Disney World so often, I feel like there are lots of things I can advise friends on, but laughed when y'all talked about Rider Switch. It was so confusing to me, and I have no idea how it works either. We just kind of make it up. No, we kind of know. It's here's how it works. It works the way the cast member at the Fast Pass return wants it to basically work.
But that's not true. Rider Switch was never really designed to be used the way that some people are using it. And actually, Disney has made steps to do that. It always was really designed so that the people, like if you have four people, okay, and three are going to ride and one cannot. It was designed so that the three that are going to ride should have fast passes, all of them. Mm-hmm. You should have a fast pass for that attraction. Now, other people have been using it differently, but if you choose to do it that way, know that the cast member can say to you, that's not how it was designed, and only the people with fast passes are going to ride. Correct. And that's how it is. What it was meant to do was to give maybe the third person, maybe this third person was a child. Maybe that child has the option of riding with both people, but they mm-hmm. all need to have the fast passes.
Is so. One of the goals, though, too, so that the adult who stays behind with the kid like doesn't have to ride by themselves when they get to yes. experience. So somebody else gets to go again so that they're not just like, oh, well, you know, I get to ride it, but I'm like the loner because I stay behind.
And that's nice that Disney still allows that. Yeah. Like that's within the parameters of the way that Child Swap was set up, but that's not how some folks have been using it lately. So I'm just gonna say whatever, but just know that like that's how things get changed. So
all right, continuing on with your email, says we're staying at the Polynesian and I'm hoping to sneak in a few extras I've done before, like early morning magic and after hours party and maybe a VIP tour at Animal Kingdom. In your expert opinion, do you think Walt Disney World will still have these perks available after Galaxy's Edge opens? Or do you think those were just fun ways to attract folks prior to the opening of Star Wars and the 50th? Is it just me or is Galaxy's Edge opening throwing y'all for a planning loop? Instead of planning on adding in those extras, should I just upgrade to club level and buy extra fast passes? My concern is I would spend the extra money and the two Star Wars rides wouldn't be on Fast Pass by March 1st for us to use them on. Would love any recommendations on how to fit in as much fun as possible into 7 days. And I'm taking your advice and spending a day at the Polynesian to enjoy the resort. Thanks. Sherry is down in Dallas. All right. So, Ricky, what would you do? I mean, she's looking to, you know, maybe plus it with early morning magic, after hours parties, tours over there. Obviously, tours will stay after Galaxy's Edge opens. What about these other events, like before park opening and, you know, late night events? I mean, I'd imagine those are being really well received. So I would say those will definitely continue after Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I'm just guessing. What do you think?
I would assume that they will. You know, it's a moneymaker for Disney mm-hmm. and they're not going to say, oh, we're going to stop making extra money. So, you know, they will offer those until they stop making extra money for the parks. So I have a feeling they're absolutely going to continue to be offered. I think that you will even potentially once that 6 o'clock extra morning magic hour stops being offered at Disney's Hollywood Studios, I suspect that that will also be either be rolled into the early morning magic offering with Toy Story or be offered instead of, or maybe they might even offer both as options of one on one day, one on the other. Who knows? I can see all of those options happening. So, but I absolutely don't think they're going anywhere at, you know, Disney's Animal Kingdom or the Magic Kingdom, both the morning and the evening versions of those. I mean, they're just, again, hugely popular as people have learned that they exist. You know, at first they weren't so popular and I was like, well, maybe it's not going to last. But then once people started catching on that, hey, no, these are a really great idea. It's a great way to see the parks and see them with minimal waits. That's when people started learning this is a good thing. So I have a feeling they're going to stick around for a while. Those kind of parties like that.
And Ricky and I did a live show Sunday night, which will go out as a podcast on tomorrow, actually on Thursday. So we talked a lot about the monkey wrench that Galaxy's Edge has thrown into the picture this year. So lots of thoughts there.
Yes, lots of thoughts.
So Pam, what about the you know, maybe instead of doing these early morning after hours events, you know, both kind of booking the days and stuff like that? She's thinking about going club level with the Polynesian. Where do you fall on that?
I think I'd wait and see how that all rolls out. I mean, some of the word that we've gotten is, first of all, that the VIP tours are not going to include the Star Wars attraction, at least for the first couple weeks that it's open. So consider that. And I don't know how the fast pass for club level guests will work at that point in time either. I don't know that they do yet either. They're probably going to be getting there soon, but you'll be able to figure that out. I think with 7 days, you're going to have a good long time. Just know that you're not going to be able to see it all. Pick, you know, a couple of the special things to sort of get you some extra access if you're really looking for that, and then just go and enjoy. It really, you'll find that when you're there, your enjoyment is not dependent on what you're getting, quote, done. it is on the overall experience. And I try to tell that to people. I know you're, you know, people really want to get a bunch of things done. And I totally understand that. I mean, you do. But part of the fun is just being there. And you'll see that when you're there.
Especially at the Poly. Oh, man.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful resort. It really is. Enjoy some of the recreational activities there. There's going to be some things, really, that occur at the resort in the evenings, even, that you'll want to see. Like, there's really something special about seeing the fireworks from the Polynesian beach. Yes. That's just really a fun thing. I mean, toes in the sand, listen to the music piped in, and watching those fireworks. Is it the best view? I don't know, because you don't get to see the castle. But is it one of the better overall experiences? Yes, I would say absolutely it is.
It's almost like a complimentary view. You know, like, I think you should see it on Main Street or in the Hub, but you also should, because it's I don't know, it's just that, like, all-encompassing view. Like, you see...
Yeah.
Because when you're so close to the castle, you see it very well. But, I mean, it's almost like the seeing it across the water with the reflections and stuff like that. It's beautiful. Yeah, definitely see it there. All right, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We saw a really incredible view from Kapa, the restaurant at the Four Seasons, I will say. And it was one of my favorite views. It had nothing to do with the fact that those nice people at the Four Seasons let you take your drink out there on the balcony to take while you're watching the fireworks. Plus, we were enjoying a really great meal and not having to fight the crowds. But anyways, it was gorgeous. So, you know, there's something to be said about not being there sometimes.
I've only heard about that meal from Scott like 17 times today.
It was literally fantastic. We'll have to do a show on it, because let me tell you, I have really great dreams about that broccoli. I know, right?
Broccoli, okay.
The broccoli was fantastic. I mean, the steaks, the drinks, the appetizers, and everything were so good. But that broccoli, yes. In fact, I came home while I was actually on vacation. I Googled, recipes for that, trying to figure out what they did. It was really unique, and I'm making it this week, so we'll see how it turns out.
So here's how it went the next day after you guys went to that restaurant, because we went to the parks and we took Emily. Or did Emily go with you? No, Emily was with us.
Yeah,
yeah. She went another night with us. We just went to the parks that night because we knew it was, like, fancy. So the next day, Scott's like, Mike, I had this margarita. He said the food was awesome. He's like, just in this restaurant. It was amazing. He's like, I had this margarita. There was no salt on the rim. He's like, the salt was in the air. It was like in the bubbles. I'm like, okay, what? And he tried to explain how this margarita had like salt that was infused or something, like in air bubbles.
Yeah.
To compliment the margarita. I was like, that's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. See, we got to definitely do a show on that and hear all about that. So I don't know about that. All right. Rhonda Lee's got a question. She says, I've been purchasing Disney gift cards. Yes, I've been combining them into one card. My question is, do you think it is the best way for me to use them to pay for the cruise or hotel, to pay for excursions, or pay for food and merchandise? Thanks in advance, Rhonda. Doesn't really matter, Ricky, right? I mean, just I like to put them just towards the balance of the trip just to get them out of the way. See if I carry them around, but it doesn't matter.
No, it what doesn't do matter. Do? I'm always more of a let's buy something fun with it. So that's kind of my theory. I save my gift cards, like when I get gift cards for my birthday or whatever, I save them for fun things. So that's kind of my theory. But I mean, yeah. Spend it how you want to spend
it. That's true. I mean, you could look at it as like bonus money. I mean, but it sounds like she's been using it, you know, save up kind of budgeting wise to pay things down.
That's true.
Do we ever, I mean, it takes discipline though to not say that's like fun money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I use it as fun money. So, yeah.
All right. Let's get to the last question of the day. It says, help us find where to eat. You've come to the right show.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My husband, our friend, and myself will be making our way down to Walt Disney World at the end of September to enjoy Food and Wine and hopefully Galaxy's Edge while staying at Pop Century. Ooh, you're going to get to ride the gondolas if you're there at the very end. See, we have a couple of food, drink-related questions about our trip. Number one, has the reopening of Mizzler's Lounge at the Grand Floridian been given a date with the Beauty and the Beast retheming? If not, where's the best place to grab a drink on the first night of our trip that's out of the parks? We'll be flying into MCO at about 8 p.m. on a Wednesday. If this isn't a Pam Forrester question, there is not a Pam Forrester question.
I don't know what is.
You know what? Actually, Mizzler's not open right now. It's the Grand Floridian Orchestral Society's down on the floor. And I actually kind of like that. The bar's kind of a mess. You got to go behind them, and you know, it's kind of a little pop-up bar. But I like having the orchestra right there on the floor for just a little bit. It's really neat to see up close. I mean, you're like right there. And those guys are such great musicians, but where should they get a drink with Mizzers? And do we know if it's the date when it's going to reopen?
No, no. They have wisely not stated that. So yeah. No, I don't know. There are so many great places at Walt Disney World to get a drink. I think if you're looking for someplace on the monorail line, you might want to consider Trader Sam's because it's a Disney experience in addition to just being a cool place to be. If you're open to other locations, Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge is one of my favorites because it's open air and sits right out there on the water. It's beautiful. There are locations at the Contemporary, too. You can even go up to California Grill and sit at the bar and have a drink there or in the lounge. But almost every deluxe resort is going to have a good place to get a drink. I'll give another nod to Victoria Falls, which is at the Animal Kingdom. Plus, then you have an excuse to go over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is always a great location. It sort of looks over Boma and sort of the hustle and bustle of stuff, but it's a fun location too. But just every location at Walt Disney World in each of the deluxe resorts is going to have some place that you want to check out.
All right. And the second question is, we have time for breakfast or brunch on the day we're leaving at Disney Springs or at a resort. What's the best place for these meals to round out our trip and say, see you real soon to Walt Disney World? Thanks as always for your wonderful advice, Stephanie. You know, if your last day is a Sunday, the Sunday brunch at Homecoming, done it twice. Hallelujah biscuit, baby. I love that thing. So
good.
That's not even a word. I'm saying that like it's so good is not even like fair. It's so, so it's stinking not. Good. I'm like my mouth's watering thinking about it right now. It's terrible. I'm like Pavlov's dog. Yes, everything. Oh my gosh.
Biscuits are great.
If like on the weekends, we also did a brunch over at Olivia's. And that was really good too. Because you get buttermilk chicken or breakfast food. It didn't matter.
It's true. And I think one of the places we've always got to give a shout out to in terms of breakfast is the Wave. It's a great buffet lunch. And listener Tim, we had the chance of meeting at our Epcot meet. We really enjoyed that. Tim, I'm going to be there someday when you are because we go there frequently. The other thing we did on our last morning, we went to actually Whispering Canyon, which actually has three breakfast skillets now available. There is one that it was sort of the traditional one. There's one that is a healthy one that has mueslix and some other, you know, healthier options, a egg white frittata. And then there's one that has brisket on top of it. So Steve and Hannah had gotten one of the one of those skillets, and I had ordered something from the menu a la carte, but that's what I like about Whispering Canyon is you have the option of both. But my favorite brunch by far is Homecoming. It just really is, like Mike said, it's just good. The drinks are good. The food is good. The service is always fantastic.
I even got a squeeze bottle. I didn't get moonshine. I got a Coke, but I got the squeeze bottle, so I'm good to go because you free refills with that one.
I know, right?
So I drink a lot of Coke.
You get free refills of, like the soft drinks.
Yep.
But yeah, those moonshine drinks are very good.
So. I've heard. I had a flight once last time I was there. And, I don't think moonshine and Mike work out very. It tastes like jet fuel. It was hot. That stuff was strong.
These drinks, though, aren't like that.
So. The ones I'm kind of an amateur at that stuff. So, Ricky, do you have any go-to brunch or breakfast locations? Like, especially for a last day, you want to have that last hurrah before you head to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with Pam. I think the Wave is excellent. I've always had great breakfast there. The problem with brunch is it's really only offered on the weekends at Walt Disney World. Yep. So if you're wanting a brunch and it's like a Tuesday, you are out of luck, which is
you gotta so pick. Unfortunate.
Because when you think about it, like how unfortunate, everybody's on vacation.
That's true. Every day be a weekend at Walt Disney World?
Now, the one place that I think offers brunch every day is Chef Mickey's. If I remember right, I do believe they offer a brunch every single day. And that's not bad. It is expensive because it's Chef Mickey's. But at least, it's a good brunch option. I mean, if you are leaving and that's your only meal for the day, basically, I would definitely look into that. Plus, you get the characters, so that part's cool. If it is a Sunday, you might want to consider Maria and Enzo's, or you might want to consider Wine Bar George as well. And then, of course, I will mention my favorite place to grab breakfast, which is Ale and Compass, because they have the chocolate waffles, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, not bad. Do they still do the House of Blues Sunday gospel brunch?
They do, yes. Yeah. House of Blues does the Sunday one, too.
I've always wanted to do that.
It's disappointing. It's only on Sundays that they do.
I mean, it's like going to church. It's gospel brunch.
That part makes sense. I just meant like, you know, it's just disappointing that brunch is only offered on Saturday or Sunday. And it's like, I wish I could go every day.
So you have two causes now, Ricky. One, we need a 24-hour diner at Walt Disney World. And we need brunch every day.
I really like breakfast. Can you guys tell that breakfast is like my favorite meal of the day? I mean, seriously.
I can get behind you, though. Both of those things are solid campaigns.
Cake for breakfast. I mean, look, I'm having waffles or French toast or something that's completely not healthy. So, I mean, it's not like I'm grabbing a biscuit with chicken like you did at homecoming.
It had everything. It didn't just have chicken. It had everything.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. Send those into Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Also, join us. We usually record live on Monday nights around 5:30 Eastern. You can drop in with your questions. Get right to the top of the queue. And don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, so much news. Give us something in 30 seconds. What are we reading on that?
Oh, my gosh. Gondolas. But, you know, we already knew that. So September 29th. T-shirts at Be Our Guest. So Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. It is our favorite fireworks show to say because you got to throw in a bam. Anyway, it is returning to Disney's Hollywood Studios once again this holiday season. It is Christmas in July, as we know. So it will take place from November 8th through January 5th. And for those who don't know what the show is about, it basically takes the story of, oh no, Santa Claus is gone. And Lanny and Wayne from ABC's Prep and Landing short are on the hunt for Santa. And you have to go and find him with the duo. And you get to see all great Christmas shorts and things like that. Like one of my favorites is Pluto's Christmas Tree or, you know, Mickey's Christmas Carol. And then they also throw in, of course, Nightmare Before Christmas and some other holiday festivities as well. But it's a great little fun show. I think it's super entertaining. And I think it's something that a lot of people skip or don't think about because they're thinking about Magic Kingdom and Christmas. And like we've said, Hollywood Studios is the place to be for Christmas.
It is. Totally. Yeah. You know, do you think they'll have, like, stormtroopers with, like, Christmas hats on or something?
I mean, we'll see what they have in Galaxy's Edge for Christmas. It'll be interesting. I don't know if they'll have anything the first year.
They shouldn't have anything because it's supposed to be themed. They don't have Christmas on other planets.
Oh, definitely. Don't they have, like, Wookiee Life Day or something? Isn't that what that stupid holiday special is?
I don't know.
It's something. Is that it, Pam? Did I get it right? Wookiee Life Day? I don't know. What is it called?
Pull out the Wookiee Christmas movie. Let's get it out. There is not some kind of incorporation of that into Galaxy's Edge.
That is
a missed opportunity for sure. I'm starting my email right now.
Yes.
Dear sirs.
Or madam.
I noticed a decided lack of Wookiee Christmas.
I still miss Star Wars weekends where Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers would break dance to MC Hammer.
Correct. Yes.
Those were the days. Like, in like 5 years, we're going to say, was that real? Like, did we ever actually crowd in to watch Darth Vader break it down? Because he did every night. Oh, God, the good old days. Anyway, so with long ad there, but check him out over at virtualmickey.com. Lots of great news, probably more newsworthy than what we just talked about. Don't forget Amazon. We have our great link over there, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We do that online shopping. We appreciate that so much. Also, give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And, of course, we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, come back on Friday. We've got a live show for you tomorrow. So three shows in 3 days. Get ready. Plan your next 3 days, your next 72 hours. You got a budget because you got a lot of podcasts to listen to. But we're talking Grand Destino Tower and Coronado Springs on Friday. So make sure you're here. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.